Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
In that clip, we have the essence of what Pastor Clive can see. Not everybody is called to be the eyes of the body. But you belong to a body that can see. And of course, it's not dreaming up dreams of our own or imagining things for ourselves, but being able to see what God sees, what God shows us. If that is Clive's vision, and you're part of this church, it's your vision. Because the body can only have one vision. Otherwise, it's double visioned and needs glasses. And there's nothing in the Word of God about the body of Christ needing spectacles. We have just one vision of which we're all a part. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Karen was leading the prayer meeting before this service, and she actually used this passage without knowing that I was going to use it during the sermon, so we must be listening to the same Spirit. There is only one Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 1 in the truth version, of course, beginning of verse 9. This is why, since we heard of what God is doing among you, we have never stopped praying for you, asking God to make you aware of His will, that He will give you all the spiritual wisdom and understanding you need. The reason why we pray like this is simple. We want you to live lives worthy of the Lord so that you please Him in every possible way. For then you will produce much fruit for His glory through all the good works you do as you continue to know Him better. He strengthens you with all the power of His glorious might, and it is this power at work in you that gives you patience, enables you to persist in doing His will, and causes you to maintain your joy, thanking God the Father for all He has done in you. Yes, it is His work in you that means you are now qualified to share in the inheritance He has prepared for all those He has called and set apart to belong to the kingdom of light. For He has already rescued us from the devil's dominion of darkness and has brought us into His own kingdom, the kingdom that belongs to the Son He loves. It is through Him that we have been made worthy in God's sight through the forgiveness of all our sins, so that now we belong to Him. Lord, we just pray that as we speak of Your word this morning, so You will open our hearts to understand Your plan, Your will, Your purpose for every one of us as a member of Your body, and that we may be those who are really yielded and devoted to seeing Your purpose fulfilled for the glory of Your name, and so that we bear the fruit that You intend us to bear. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, all this raises the question, well, what are you living for? What is your purpose? Now, you could say, well, my purpose, if you're married, is to do the best for my family. I want to see my children growing up and being good citizens, good believers. That's a laudable motive to have, but then people of any faith would say that. There's nothing distinctively Christian about that. Take out the word becoming good believers, and you've got the intention even of atheists in our nation. So it's good, obviously, we want the welfare of our family. If you're single, it would be a good motive. Well, I desire to marry the right man, the right woman, and for us to have kids, and so on. Good motive. But you don't have to be a Christian to have that motive. You could say, well, I want to be good at my job. I want to get on and make progress and really have a good work life, provide for the family, and so on. Good motive. But again, that's a motive that many, many people have that are not Christians. So what's your motive? You could say, well, I'm here because I want to worship the Lord. And you could have the attitude, I don't think many at Kingdom Faith would, but you could have the attitude, well, if I give to the Lord a little bit of time on Sunday, then I can live the rest of my life for myself. The rest of the time is mine. I give to the Lord a few minutes in prayer, give to the Lord something in the offering, and the rest is mine. You could have that attitude. But of course, with an attitude like that, you would not fulfill the purpose of God. You could say, well, I have certain needs, and this is a church where the life and the power of God is moving among his people, so I've come to have my needs met. Well, that's good. People came to Jesus to have their needs met. But they didn't all become his disciples. They didn't all embrace the will and the purpose that Jesus had for them. So it's an understandable thing for any believer and every believer to want God to meet the needs in their life, but we are not Christians simply for God to meet our needs. We could say, well, I want an eternal inheritance with God in heaven when I die. So I realize that I have to be a believer, be born again and filled with the Spirit, so that I can receive the gift of eternal life and know that my life is going to add up to something more than a few score years here on earth, that I'm going to have an eternal inheritance with God in heaven. Well, that would be a laudable purpose as well, but again, that's not why God saved you. That's the end result of being saved, but it's not why he saved you. He saved you because he's got a purpose for you on earth before your heavenly reward. And what Clive was doing in that clip was encapsulating what he sees as the vision that God gives to his body. We could say at this time, but actually if you take the essence of what Clive is saying there, that's God's purpose for his church at any time. Of course, it's expressed in the ways that are applicable to our society today. But then many of those needs would have been, or situations would have been true of society in former generations. Okay, now where are we going with all this? Because this is obviously true, but it doesn't sound all that exciting. Well, we're not here just to get excited. Hello? Yeah. But actually, to be part of the purpose of God is exciting. Because what it means is that your life is going to add up to something. That when you come to your deathbed, you won't just be able to say, well, thank you, Lord, for my wife, thank you for my husband, thank you for my children. Yeah, we need to do that. We're not going to say, oh, well, Lord, just thank you that you've been with me. Thank you that you've met my needs. When it comes to our deathbed, we need to be able to lie there saying, thank you, Lord, for enabling me to fulfill the purpose for which you called me, for which you saved me, for which you came to live in me. Now, what the scriptures make clear to us is you cannot fulfill that purpose on your own. That from the moment you're born again, you are made part of the body of Christ. You become a branch in the true vine of Jesus. Your life becomes linked, made one with the others that are part of the body or part of the local expression of the vine of which you are a part. Now, it would be nonsensical to amputate limbs and to try to join them to another body. It would make no sense to cut off a branch from the vine because, as Jesus says, if you do that, it can't be fruitful. So, when God grafts us into the vine, when he makes us part of the body, it's because he knows his will, his plan, his purpose for us is going to be outworked in that situation where he puts us. If we choose to opt out of that situation, we're on our own. We are, by doing that, going against the very purpose of God. Oh, some people are sent out because that's the purpose of God, because we as a local expression belong to something much bigger than ourselves, which is the body of Christ worldwide. But to all intents and purposes, we are here for the duration. Why? Because it's only if you get planted and deeply rooted that you can bear fruit. If you take a plant and you keep planting it in different places, it's never going to be fruitful. So we get deeply planted. And in the life cycle of any plant, there are the seasons of growth, the times of pruning, and the times of harvest, of fruitfulness. And sometimes we have to go through those seasons where God is dealing with us, pruning us, refining us, getting us ready for a greater season of harvest. Amen. And there is a sense in which that has been happening over a period of time, and now we have entered into a time of increasing harvest. At present, now we are entering a time of increasing harvest. We're only just beginning to see the first fruits of that, but it's exciting because it's going to be a great harvest. Amen. But what is the purpose of that harvest? It's not just that we would see the church grow and see more people saved, but we see more people being called and set apart by God for the purpose that you've just seen in that video, that together we live for this. We live for the fulfillment of the vision. Therefore, our lives, our families, our resources, our time, everything is at God's disposal for his purpose. We don't just apportion a little part of our time and a little part of our resources for God's purpose and say, the rest is mine. We say, no, Lord, you have called me, you have chosen me, you have set me apart as one of your people, you have given me a purpose for my life. My life is going to count for something. By your grace, I'm going to come to the end of my life on my deathbed, and I'm going to be able to praise you that by your grace and through your mercy, I was able to fulfill everything that you planned and purposed for my life. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be dreadful to come to the end of your life and to lie there realizing that his purpose hadn't been fulfilled and that now it was too late to do anything about it? Wouldn't it be terrible to realize that you'd flitted about from here to there, seeking what you wanted for yourself, just wanting to be entertained by the kind of church that would meet what you desired, and yet you'd never really produce the fruit that God meant you to produce, and that you'd never fulfilled the purpose that he had planned for you? That would be sad, wouldn't it? It would be more than sad, it would be shocking. And I can remember, and I was first a Christian as a young lad, thinking, well, if I give to God, you know, in prayer and worship on Sundays and so on, then he is going to bless me, and I can really sort of live the rest of my life for myself, which at the time was for cricket and sport and all the other things I like doing. So I could go to church, the early service on Sunday, and then I could play the day, spend the rest of the day playing cricket. This was my idea of, this must be a good Christian life. But, you know, God sometimes lets you begin at that kind of level. But it's not long before he begins to show you, wait a minute, it's not about just going to church and doing with your life what you want. It's going to church and doing with your life what I want. And fulfilling my plan and my purpose for you. Now, when you look at a clip like that, and I mean, this is big vision. And we're all tempted to think, what can I do to fulfill such a big vision? I mean, I'm just little me. You might even think that you're a little nobody who God has made a somebody, but you still feel a nobody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, let's think of an army for a moment. An army is there to engage in battle and win the war. What can one soldier do on his own? Precious little. What happens if one soldier deserts and says, well, I don't like what I'm doing in this army, so I'm going to go off and do my own thing and trust that somehow God uses me to win the war. Anybody at the same meeting that I'm at? No, you can see, well, if we're an army, the only way in which we're going to prevail is by being together. And that what there has to be in an army is unity and discipline. Yes? An army must be able to fight. It's got to be equipped in the proper way. So I can't be equipped if I'm just flitting about from here to there. I'm in the army. I have to obey the superior officers. I mean, you can't have soldiers, you know, sort of saying to their officers when they're commanded to do something, well, I'll pray about it. I mean, that's super spirituality, isn't it? When you're told to do something, you do it or else you're in trouble. Well, if God tells us to do something and we don't do it, we're in trouble. Come on, God is not pleased. And yes, he can restore us, he will forgive us. As soon as we ask him to, but it does not please God for us to ignore him and to disobey him and to disobey those that he's put over us to lead us in the fulfillment of the vision. That does not please God at all. In fact, the scriptures call it rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft. So to God, disobedience is pretty serious. And of course, we know the mercy of God. We know that in his wonderful love, he's always prepared to be merciful to us. But we also know that does not mean that we take his mercy for granted, so that it doesn't matter what we do. It matters immensely what we do. God has called us to be a faithful people, not an unfaithful people. God has called us to be an obedient people, not a disobedient people. God has called us to be a united people, not a disunited people. God has called us to have a common purpose, not our own purposes. It's all bound up in the fact that we live in Christ. And Christ lives in us. And he doesn't live in us to disperse us into 100 different directions, but in order that the Spirit of God working within us will enable each of us to fulfill the distinctive part that we have to play so that the vision of the whole body is fulfilled. And the purposes that God has for each one of us in that is going to be different. Basically, it begins with doing what God puts in front of us to do. To love those he gives us to love, to serve those he wants us to serve. It's good that we honor the servants amongst us. To reach out in the way that he tells us to reach, to witness in the way that he tells us to witness. It's simply doing what the Spirit of God is telling us to do. But he never tells us to do something that will separate us or cause us to have independent attitudes. He says, no, you're part of the one body that has one vision and one purpose that is going to be fulfilled under the anointing of the one Holy Spirit of God. Now, we've had some exciting mornings recently. This is going to be just as exciting. I said this is going to be just as exciting. Because there's something that God wants to do amongst us this morning. That's great, isn't it? God never wants to speak without acting. Speech is always followed by action. This is why Scripture says that there will always be signs following. What are the signs following? They're the action. We need to hear God and what he is saying so that then he can act. Sometimes he will act in our bodies because he's healing us or something like that. Sometimes he's going to act in our understanding because he's opening up to us a greater understanding of his will and purpose and of what we are to do. But always he will work in our hearts. Because everything that we are to do must come from the heart. The heart motivation that we are expressing our love for God by obeying his commands. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command you. So it's simply a question of love. Yes, we love you, Lord. Therefore, we're devoting our whole lives to your will and purpose. And we pray and we believe that by the end of our lives, we will be able to say, thank you, Lord, for enabling me to fulfill your purpose. And when we go to him, we will hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the eternal joy of your Lord. Amen. So, there's always room for us to devote ourselves more fully from the heart to the Lord. Haven't you ever had those times when you realized, oh God, I've been lukewarm, half-hearted, when I've compromised? Hello? And the good thing is God doesn't judge us and condemn us and throw us out and say, you're not worthy material. He just works in our hearts so that then we begin to take off in a new way. And we see another season of greater fruitfulness growing and developing. Now let's just see what Paul says. I'm going to start at the beginning of the paragraph here in at the bottom of page 464 if you're looking at the Truth Version. Yes, It is his work in you that means you are now qualified to share in the inheritance he has prepared for all those he has called and set apart to belong to the kingdom of light. Okay, it is his work in you. Let me ask you, what work is he doing in you? No. I didn't say what work has he done in you. But what work is he doing in you? What is he doing in this season of your life in order that you will be more fruitful? In order that you will demonstrate that you're someone who, look, he has called and set apart to belong to the kingdom of light. Now, what God has been speaking to us about in recent weeks is the supernatural. That God is supernatural, his kingdom is supernatural, his spirit is supernatural, Christ in you is supernatural. You live in the supernatural one, and the supernatural one lives in you. Therefore, God's purpose is that we are living in the supernatural. How on earth can you fulfill such a wonderful purpose and vision apart from the supernatural power of God? I mean, if God doesn't do it, it's never going to happen. The politicians would all say, oh, what wonderful ideals, but they can't produce the results. It doesn't matter which mob's in. I mean, they're all going to try to do their best to improve society, but all they do is make laws, more laws, and even more laws. And all we get is political correctness, but we don't get the answers to the situation. So along comes another gang and says, well, let's deliver you from political correctness, but that is not going to solve the problems either. But our God, who lives in us and who has made us one in his body, has got his plan and his purpose for how he is going to fulfill those objectives. Now, it takes a people of faith to believe that. You see, there are lots of people in church all over this nation today, but they don't have that kind of vision. And they don't have that kind of vision because they don't have that kind of faith. They're there just to, you know, have a service or to have their needs met or because it's the thing they always do on a Sunday morning. But praise God, here at Kingdom Faith, we have a purpose. Yeah. It's to see the purpose of God for our life corporately and individually to be fulfilled. But the individual purpose can only be fulfilled within the context of this corporate purpose. So you may be a new Christian, only recently been saved and come into this, and you think, wow, this is all new. And you watch something like that and you suddenly realize you're part of something much bigger than you ever realized you were getting into. Well, that's what God does. He doesn't tell you how big it is before you get into it. You know, Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee and said to the fishermen, come follow me. But he didn't tell them what he was going to get them into. He just gave them this promise, I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, well, most of you will lose your lives for me and you'll have to lay down your lives and you'll be in prison and you'll be beaten and whipped and all the rest of it. But you will prevail and be victorious in the end. He didn't tell them all that. He just said, I'll make you fishers of men. Because, you see, right at the beginning, we can't understand the purposes of God. It's just so wonderful to be delivered from the life of sin and all that the world has been doing to us. It's so wonderful to suddenly encounter the love of God, which is not like human love, which changes with emotion and circumstances. It's so wonderful to begin to experience a love that is always there, always true, never changes. It's so wonderful to taste that mercy of God, which means, yes, I am forgiven. I am totally accepted. God has obliterated all my former sins and failure so that they no longer exist. That is so wonderful. I mean, that's good enough right at the beginning, isn't it? It's so wonderful to suddenly realize that everything that belongs to the grace of God is available to you, that He's the God who wants to give and give and give and give and just go on lavishing His gifts upon you. It's amazing. And then you come to understand His power, that even in your weakness, His power is made perfect. That it doesn't matter how weak you are, because He is so powerful. That supernatural, almighty power of God takes a greater and greater impact in your life. And then you begin to understand, well, why is God doing all this? Because He's got a purpose. And because out of all the millions of people He could have chosen, He says, I want you, not just for heaven. I want you for my purpose. I want you because your life can be used to impact the lives of so many others. Now listen. That doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be the world's greatest evangelist. Some of you are natural evangelists. Some of you are not. Some of you would talk to anybody, anywhere about Jesus. Others of you would feel embarrassed to do that. Hello? You see, we're not all the same. But we all have qualities and gifts that God needs for the whole thing. And even what we do here, as we serve and love and care for one another, is part of that purpose of reaching the world. This is why Jesus said, you are to love one another as I have loved you. And He said, Father, may they be one, so that the world will know. Why? Because you see, when people come out of the world and into our midst, they need to come into love, acceptance, freedom, joy. Because that is the life of the body, of which they now become a part. This is good news. Amen. And we all have a contribution to make to that, because, you know, that is the quality of life that God has put within you. That's why judgment is out the wall, out the window. No judgment. No judgment in here. We won't judge one another. Jesus says all judgment belongs to the Son, and you're not to judge one another, because if you judge one another, then you'll be judged with the same judgment that you judge one. So, I mean, you know, that judgment is out. Mercy is in. So we'll always be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I don't know about you, but I always need the mercy of God, so I know I always better be merciful, because if I'm not merciful, God says He won't be merciful to me. And as I need God always to be merciful to me, then I've always got to be merciful to others. And if I'm merciful to others, there's no judgment. We got it. Hallelujah. Because you can't judge and be merciful at the same time. Either you judge or you're merciful. And if you're gracious, because God is gracious, then you're going to be giving and giving and giving and giving and loving and serving and looking for all kinds of opportunities to bless others and to build them up. Why? Because in this way, you're transforming society. Huh? How's that come? Because the world will know. Well, how's that going to happen? I don't know, but Jesus will make it happen. I've seen it happen before. We're going to see it happen here in our day. Amen. You see, you don't belong to a church. You belong to a vision. Jesus never promised to build our churches. He only promised to build His church. And His church has vision. It has eyes to see and ears to hear what God is saying, a mouth to speak and proclaim His will and purpose. So we're part of a vision. We're part of a plan. We're part of a purpose. And what God says is that even before the creation of the world, God established the plan. He didn't sort of call you into the body of Christ and then say, what on earth am I going to do with this money? I mean, it was a risk getting them saved in the first place. But now they've got saved. What on earth can I do? Well, you see, God established the plan even before the creation of the world. So when he called you and when he chose you, it was to bring you into the plan that he's already established. What he wants you to do is to know the plan. To know you're part of it. You might not have that big vision, but your leaders have. And your leaders can see that whatever we do has to fit into the vision. So, his will and purpose is that he's delivered us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into his own kingdom. And brought us into his own kingdom. Yeah. Now, this is the good news. This is the exciting part. Are you ready?
Yes.
The kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God. Yes. Listen. There is no failure
Amen. In
God's kingdom.
Amen.
Because wherever Jesus Christ rules and reigns, there can't be failure. And what many people don't realize is if they're brought into the body of Christ, if they're brought into the kingdom of God, they're brought into God's kingdom. Not that the church is the kingdom. The church can fail. Church can have all kinds of weaknesses, all spots and wrinkles, but not in the kingdom. Wherever Jesus reigns, there is always victory. Hallelujah. Jesus can't reign in failure. Jesus can't reign in fear. Jesus reigns over sickness. Isn't this good? He reigns over sin. He reigns over everything that is not of his purpose. So he's brought us out of the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves so that we can reign and therefore we can succeed. You're getting too excited again, aren't you? Just remember it's Sunday morning. Isn't this wonderful? It's wonderful. But what does that mean? You can say of yourself, I'm part of God's success story.
Amen.
I lived in fear and failure, doubt, despondency, all kinds of negativity before I knew Jesus. But now I'm part of his successful purpose. And if you read right through to the end of the New Testament, you read what's going to happen in the end.
Hallelujah.
It's success for Jesus. Because he comes again and he establishes perfectly his kingdom here on earth. Hallelujah. We are the prophetic forerunners of what he's going to do when he comes again. We are those who are living in his victory, living in his success, living under his rule and reign. We are those who are living in his victory.
Amen.
And of course, in the world, there's going to be opposition.
That's right.
In the world, there's going to be sickness and fear and all kinds of negative things happening. But we never despair. We never become despondent. Why? Because we are part of the rule and the reign, and Jesus Christ is going to enable me to rule over this. He's going to enable me to rule in this situation. Why? Because I'm part of his purpose, and his purpose is a kingdom purpose. It's getting the world ready for when he comes again and establishes his kingdom perfectly. But it'll be too late for anybody to change sides then. So he says, despite the darkness of the world, despite the opposition, despite the sin, despite all that you're seeing happening in society now, my kingdom will advance.
Amen.
And the government that is upon his shoulders will never cease. But that government shall increase. All the time it shall increase. What is the government of God? It's the kingdom of God. It's the rule of God. It's the reign of God. And we are part of that increase. And God is saying, this is what I'm doing with you. This is why you're here every Sunday. And you know, some Sundays you have good times, sometimes, what was all that about? I just felt out of it this morning. Ever felt like that? Four of you are honest. But you know, it's not about feelings, is it?
That's right.
You know, you can be at a meeting, you can go away feeling, I just didn't get anything this morning. And realize a few days later, God on that morning did something so profound in your life that it's changed you forever. And you weren't even aware of it at the time. Why? Because it's got nothing to do with feelings. Jesus hasn't brought you here for a good feeling. He hasn't brought you here so that you can go away saying, oh, what a wonderful service. He's brought you here as part of his purpose. And you see, no matter how you feel, no matter what's going on, he is furthering his purpose in you this morning. It's the same when you pray. Sometimes you have great times of prayer. Sometimes you're conscious of the Lord's presence. Sometimes it seems he's a million miles away. Sometimes it appears that he doesn't even know your address. But actually, you're doing the business.
Hallelujah.
And God is at work in you. Even when there's nothing happening, yet will I rejoice, says the prophet. Even when there's nothing fruitful, even when everything is collapsing in the world around, yet in you I will rejoice. Why? Because God is always the same and God is working his purpose out. Hallelujah. So I'm hanging in there. You're hanging in there. We're not going anywhere. Okay, just one more thing before I think of something else. We're a family. I said we're a family.
Amen.
And the thing about a family is that they share a DNA. And we have spiritual DNA. We can have people from other places and they can bless us, speak into our situation. We can receive, hear what the Lord's saying to them, but they never have our DNA. We can go to other places. We can be blessed. We can be blessed by this person's ministry, that person's ministry. We can watch something on God Channel or whatever, and you can get blessed. But the people you're seeing don't have your DNA.
That's true.
Now, where does the DNA come from? It comes from, historically, what you become part of. It comes, spiritually, from God's call and vision upon the family to which you belong. And you see, nobody else can have your DNA. This is why Paul says, if they go out from us, it was because they were never really part of us. They never had our DNA. They might have been there for some time. Might have served and done all kinds of things in the body while they were here, but they didn't have the DNA. Why? Because those with the DNA of the family or of the house, they persevere. They know there's nowhere else to go, because if I go anywhere else, I should step out of the purpose of God. I should step out of the plan that he had in bringing me and making me part of the vision, part of the plan, part of the purpose that he's going to outwork here. Now, God will send people out. We sent a couple of young men out last Sunday. Why? Because that's part of the DNA of this house, to send people out. But when we send them out, it's because we know that God is going to use them to further the vision of the house. To further the vision that he's given us. They're not people just saying, oh, I'd like to go off and do this, or I'd like to do that, or I think my ministry would be better in some other place. No, no, no. Your ministry will be most fruitful where God puts you. You know, one of the things that saddened me over the years as I've traveled around is I've seen people in a certain position in different churches. They might have been assistant pastors or on the leadership team or something like that. And there's such a rich anointing on their lives. God has used them, is using them so powerfully and effectively. They're part of a team. And then they get the idea, I should be a pastor of my own church. And they leave and they go and either plant a church or try to take a church on. And it's a disaster. You see, what has got in? Pride. I don't want to just be part of a team. I want to be in charge. I want to be boss. I want to be... And, you know, it's sometimes fed by other Christians that say to them, you know, you should be a pastor. You should have your own church. But you see, it was never God's purpose. So instead of prospering, they languish. Why? Because God has called them and every one of us to be team members. And we are always most effective and most fruitful where we are fulfilling our part in the team. And God knows that part. God knows the anointing. God knows how He can use you. God knows how you can be most effective in His kingdom purposes. You see, how can you ever fulfill a vision like that? If everybody, as soon as they get a bit of anointing or fresh anointing on their life, think, oh, I'm going to go off and do my own thing now. You never see the vision fulfilled. Because what God needs is a strong body of strong people that can reach the weak. People with strong faith, strong anointing. He won't waste you. God will never waste the life of anybody who's made available. But you don't have to go off somewhere else to be used. The more you make yourself available to God, the more He will use you, right where you are. And if He wants your ministry to develop in some other way, then that will be perceived by the leadership, by everybody involved. Not just by you. It won't be an independent decision that you will make. Yeah. And you see, it is an independent decision, even if you go to the leadership and say, I'm going. That's still an independent decision. But what God is doing here now, in Kingdom Faith, is He's building up the body. He's anointing us with fresh oil.
Amen. Amen.
He's releasing His supernatural power afresh amongst us. Why? So His kingdom purposes can be fulfilled here. Amen. So, goodbye failure. Because there's no failure in the kingdom. Goodbye half-heartedness. Goodbye compromise. I'm here.
That's it. Amen.
But I'm here wholeheartedly.
Yes.
Because I want to see God's purpose for my life fulfilled.
Amen.
I want to see Him use me in the most powerful and effective way He can, to love, to serve, to give, to bless, to heal, to perform miracles, whatever it may be. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful? And you see, what God is doing now is releasing His power among us afresh. So we can understand all this can only be done through the supernatural power of God. Not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Just going to finish by reading something a little later on in Colossians. In chapter 3. Verse 15. Oh, we'll start at verse 14. The trouble is, you know, it's all so good. You want to read the lot, really, don't you? Verse 14. The highest virtue is love. Just turn to your neighbor and say, the highest virtue is love. Isn't that good? Because you see, love unites, it doesn't separate people. Are you there? Okay. The highest virtue is love, for this keeps all these other qualities in their right place and enables you to live in unity with others.
Yeah.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
See, you're in unity, even with the other members of the body here, because, you know, there's a few hundred people in this church, so you can't possibly get to know everyone. I mean, I don't know everyone. I expect you know who I am, but I don't know all of you personally. And, you know, it would be unrealistic to try to do that. But others in the body know you, and you know others in the body. You're in unity with those that you're in relationship with. Huh? Your foot doesn't stick out of the head. You might have noticed that. But it is still linked to the head, even though the foot is only in direct relationship with the ankle and the leg. But that might be too deep for you to understand this morning. So let's just look at verse 15 then. As members of the one body of Christ, you have been called to live at peace with all the other members. Isn't it good? There's no spats, no disagreements, no jealousies, no anger, no offense. Because we love one another. Yes? And we're in unity with one another. And we're all united together in the common cause of the kingdom to see the vision fulfilled. Oh, we've got something to live for. Amen. We've got someone to live for. So let the peace of Christ be a guiding principle of your life. And you know, you're always at peace when you're doing what God wants. Have you noticed that? But as soon as you step outside of His will, you lose your peace. As I could talk a lot about that, but anyway. And always be thankful to God. Oh, thank you, Lord, you made me part of Kingdom Faith. What a wonderful privilege to be part of such a purpose, such a vision, where you are moving so powerfully and where you're going to do such great things in these coming years. Can you see things wrong? Of course you can. Is the music too loud? Probably for some of you, like me. There will be things you don't like, but you're not here. Just so that everything can be tuned into what you like. We're here for the purpose of God. Okay. So let the truth, the word of Christ, live in you in all its richness. Then you will be able to teach, encourage, and correct one another with godly wisdom. Keep praising God by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with hearts full of thankfulness to God. Now, it's the next verse we want to focus on. Be sure that no matter what you say or do, you are able to do everything in the name of Jesus because you do what pleases Him. Listen. You can't say, no, Lord, in the name of Jesus when He tells you to do something. Hello? You can't disobey in the name of Jesus. You can't sin in the name of Jesus. You can't compromise in the name of Jesus. You can't fail in the name of Jesus. And here Paul says, this is a wonderful epistle, read the whole thing.
Yeah.
At least down to this part, to verse 17 of chapter 3. If you've got the stomach for it, go on. Wives, and be submissive to your husbands. But at least, go up to chapter 3, verse 17. Read the whole thing. Together, because it's just so wonderful. But you see, we're going to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're cutting out what can't be done in His name. Because together, not just separately, individually in our own lives, but together, we're here to speak, to act in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see His will and His plan and His purposes fulfilled. Aren't you privileged? Aren't you privileged? I can remember when I first came to know the Lord as a little boy, the first truth that hit my heart is what a wonderful privilege to be called to serve the King of Kings. I didn't know how I would be serving Him then, of course. I thought it might be on the cricket field, but it wasn't. But you see, the great thing is that by His grace, God's plan and purpose for your life is going to be fulfilled.
Amen.
So let's all stand. Pastor Clive is in Italy with our churches there this weekend, with Pastor Giorgio and the church in Modena. So it's been good to be able to talk about the vision that God has given him while he's not here. Now, what I believe God wants us to do, we've had some good times of ministry and so on, but I just believe this morning God wants to minister into your heart in these next few minutes. Is that okay? But first of all, you know, the measure you give is the measure you get back, yes? So right where you're standing now, I want you, especially if you're part of the body here, I want you to tell the Lord that you are devoted, first of all, to Him, to the Lord. This love that embraces everything, Paul was talking about. We only love because He first loved us, didn't He? Don't we? So, say, Lord, I'm devoted to You. Thank You that You have called me and chosen me in Your love. And Lord, my response to Your great love for me is to say that I devote myself to You. And therefore, to Your plan and purpose for my life. I don't want to just exist. I don't want to just be a Christian. I don't want to just go to church and say my prayers. I want to fulfill the plan and purpose that You have for my life. And I'm laying my life on the line this morning, Lord. Now, for many of you, this is reaffirming something that's already a reality. But I believe God is stirring in the hearts of others, because you realize you've never really devoted yourself to His purpose. Now, of course, when you do this, you might not be clear as to what that purpose is. And you see, this is the way God works. He knows there's no point in revealing His purpose until we're devoted to doing it. Then He can show us what it is He wants us to do. But He waits for us to get the right heart attitude first. So thank the Lord now. That He called you, chose you, set you apart.
Yes.
Because He had a purpose for you. Now thank Him that He made you a part of the body. He put you in the body. And because you are part of this body, what happens when two bodies join together? The DNA changes. Thank You, Lord, You're changing the DNA in my life. that what I'm going to produce will have the DNA of this family. Hallelujah. That means, you know, all the lives that are going to be impacted by you, however that happens, through love, through serving, through giving, through blessing, through leading people to Christ, however it happens, those people that come in are going to get the DNA of this house, of this family. They're going to become part of this purpose that God has for this body. That's great. God is so pleased about that. Hallelujah. Because he's going to move this church on with very rapid development in the coming weeks and months. Something is going to happen here. It's already beginning, which is going to really cause a growth explosion, not just of the size of this church, but of the ministry and of the effectiveness and of the influence of this church. So just praise God now that he's made you part of this body. He's planted you here. He's grafted you into the vine of Jesus in this place. He's made you one with the other members. He's brought you into unity with all the other people that belong to Kingdom Faith. And thank him that you're going to fulfill the particular purpose that God has for you as an individual within this purpose that he has for the whole body. Thank him that he's made you part of that vision to bring about a revival in this nation that will last for a generation. To turn a godless society back to God. You might not see how important your role is, but if you fulfill what God is asking of you, you are going to be part of that purpose. And when you're on your deathbed, you're going to be able to say, "Thank you, Lord, that by your grace, you kept me persevering. You kept me hanging in there when the things were difficult, when there were challenging times. I thank you, Lord, that you brought me through to great effectiveness and fruitfulness for your glory. And I just look forward now to my heavenly reward." Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Satapaka. Come on, just pray in the Spirit now. Puparazataparazitorisatuba. Yes, 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 yes. Now just lift your hands as you're praising the Lord. And just receive fresh oil, fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, just pour out your fresh grace upon everybody in this room now. Answer the prayer and the longing of their hearts. Puratapari ezatu bakarazitaba. Balatapari eletu bakarazitari sandaba. Balatapari elero bakarasita di sandama. Bambarazatari elero bakarasita di sandama. Borala bazaturi eletu bakarasita di sandama. Umbarazatari elero bakarasita di sandama. As I was praying this morning, God gave me this verse to help us understand how important what he is doing amongst us is at present. It comes from the book of Revelation. And I'll just read the context. "Another angel with a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke from the incense in the angel's hand descended before God with the prayers of the saints. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it on the earth." And all kinds of things happened. But what the Lord is saying is, your prayers are on that altar. They're mingled with the incense that from the censer that angel had. Hallelujah. Your prayers are ascending. All those prayers, you know, you those of you that were at the Victory in Prayer meeting a few days ago, those prayers have ascended to God. All that you've been believing that God would do through this body, through your life, through you as part of the body here, all those prayers have ascended to God. And that incense from the angel descends and gathers up your prayers and lays them on the altar of God, in the presence of God. Yes. All this is picturesque language, but you can understand what God is saying. None of those prayers goes unheard. Hallelujah. God has heard those prayers. And the Word of God says, if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have received from Him whatever we ask. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you. Now, I want you just to listen very carefully. We're going to finish in a moment. We're not going to have any personal ministry this morning, but because God's been ministering to all of us personally. But I want you to listen. You've already heard advertised the three encounter nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the 19th to the 21st of October. Now listen to me. You need to be there, not on one night because you fulfilled your obligation. You need to do everything possible to be here all three nights. Because God is going to build something on those three evenings. And if you take seriously this message this morning, you will move heaven and earth to be here for those three evenings. We've got the first week of term this week. God is going to be moving very powerfully among the students. But it's not about a Bible college. It's about what God does through the church. Because students come and students go, but you stay on forever. And, God will move among the students because they've got time to meet with God. They have that time. But you need to give yourself time to meet with God in a fresh way. Because God wants to pour out fresh oil, fresh anointing, do something deep and profound in your life. I believe in every member of this body. So that the vision can be fulfilled. And the kingdom of God can advance. So can you just close your eyes now and just covenant with God for those 3 days. If you've got a job that takes you away and you won't be in Horsham those 3 days, then covenant with God that you will spend those three evenings, if it's at all possible, in prayer and in meeting with God. And I believe wherever you are, God will meet with you. If you're in a family situation, only a husband or wife can come, then at least spend the time as soon as you've got the children in bed or whatever. Use the time to meet with God in your home. Don't just say, oh, I'm not allowed to watch the television tonight. I mean, it's just clearing the other stuff out of the way so that we've got time to meet with God. Let's give Him that time because we're serious about the purpose. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Father, we just believe those are going to be three exceedingly significant days when we as a body are going to advance and your kingdom is going to advance amongst us. And you are going to do a new and profound and deep and wonderful work in every one of us. And we praise your name. Now, just before we finish, we're going to pray for Pastor Clive and for the others in leadership with him. The one that God has given to be the eyes of the body. The vision. That's his responsibility. So, Lord, we thank you for Pastor Clive. for Jane, for all the others on the leadership groups, those that share the vision with him and live and pray to see the vision fulfilled. And Lord, we just affirm him. And we affirm, Lord, his leadership over this church. We thank you that you will keep him walking in your ways. We thank you that you will be a wall of protection around him. We thank you, Lord, that your spirit will be ever fresh upon him, in his heart and upon his lips. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you've given him, and that he is a man of integrity. And we thank you, Lord, for the fire that is burning in his heart to see your plans and purposes fulfilled. So we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Now, you know, there's a little phrase Paul uses when he's talking about the church in the New Testament. He says, we are members one of another. And he says, we belong to one another. Just turn to all those around you and say, I belong to you, you belong to me. Can you remember that's covenant?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.